I'm Kerry Adams, and you're listening to Kerry's Connoisseurs, coming to you from Solid Gold Podcasts. Here we talk to the movers and shakers, the drinkers, the dreamers, and all the people who make it happen in the liquor and luxury industries from around the world. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Kerry's Connoisseurs. It's the first time in quite a while that I'm making a podcast. Cal, what happened? Did you run away and leave me? What happened? I don't know. Anyway, here we are. And in the studio today, I've got the gorgeous Clive Schlabarty with me. Clive, hello.
Hello, Kerry.
Thank you for coming all the way into my studio. But it's a really cool little studio.
It's the coolest studio ever.
It's a comfy, happy space. And we all have to raise our glasses. I want you all, I hope everybody always has a full glass when we do Kerry's Connoisseurs.
Always.
I hope so. Because today is Clive's birthday. It's somebody else that I love very much. It's his birthday today as well. So we're going to raise a birthday drink to two very cool people.
To my 21st.
Cheers, my darling. Yeah, you should be so lucky.
To my 21st.
We've already had the cake.
We've had the cake. It's my birthday, so we're allowed to have the cake as and when we
please. We had the cake. We can have our cake and eat it.
And we ate it. With wine.
With wine. So the reality is that I've known Clive for a long time. And in fact, you and I have, our first commonality was, is that, don't worry, don't look so worried. I'm not going to tell them everything. I'm not going to tell them everything, Clive.
Some things need to stay away from me.
Our first thing we have in common is that I went to Parktown Girls High and you went to Parktown Boys High. So he was my brother's school. I was a little bit before you, though, I think.
A tad
hey?
Bit, just a tad bit.
Because I turned 31 this year, and you 21, so it was
yeah,
a
so 10-year
difference.
Gap. Absolutely.
Lovely boys came out of Parktown Boys High, and I have some very happy memories of standing on the side of rugby fields.
Screaming.
And Parktown girls were not allowed to do that. We had a very, very strict headmistress, Ruth Waterfield. She was, I think she was a Plymouth Brethren. She had a grey plaque wrapped around her. I stopped judging people with grey hair. Because my hair went grey when I was 30. I'm not joking. It did. It went grey when I was 30 and I just left it. But Ruth had this grey plaque. She had icy blue eyes.
Okay.
She was hugely academic. She was a spinster. And rumour had it that she was a Plymouth Brethren. I don't know if she was.
I suppose you were too scared to ask.
We were desperately scared to ask. And then much later in life, rumour had it again that she and Miss Painter, the history mistress, were an item. But in those days, nobody would ever
have been
asked that. So we don't know. But if they did, good luck to you, Ruthie and Miss Painter. I hope it was fun. Anyway, it was a brilliant school. It was absolutely brilliant. But every now and again, we were allowed out to the boys' school, which was quite far away. It wasn't close.
It is. I think it's probably a good, 4 or 5 kilometers apart?
Easy.
Yeah.
We were allowed out to the boys' school. We were taken in a bus. And to watch the boys playing hockey or rugby.
Or
those
were the main ones.
I don't know what else there was. Maybe sometimes tennis or
I think
swimming,
tennis,
galas.
Swimming as well as athletics.
Athletics. And then every now and again we were sent to the school to do debating with the boys.
Yes, that was a big one.
We thrashed them. The girls thrashed the boys at debating and maths.
But are you surprised though?
No.
And girls then English are usually more eloquent anyway.
And then when English came, you didn't stand a chance either. So the girls were much cleverer. But in those days we had to have our dresses had to be below our knee.
Ah. That standard still goes though.
Yeah. And we had to have a Panama, white Panama hat on, and we had to have our hair plaited. Didn't matter how long or short your hair was, it had to be in plaits.
Okay, this is news to me.
Yeah, yeah. We were terribly well behaved. The Parktown girls didn't do what all the other girls did. I can tell you that for sure.
I think
nothing like the convent girls.
I was about to say.
You see, you know.
But I must say, though, a lot of those traditions, I think, have seeped through in the 10-year difference that we've had. A lot of those have remained pretty much intact.
In fact, I think she was the one, Ruth Waterfield was the one who banned the sale of peanut brittle from our tuck shop.
because she read somewhere. And this is honest to God truth, that peanuts increased your sexual, your libido. So she is terrified she was going to have 1,000 horny girls at school.
Doing what exactly?
I don't know. Anyway, we weren't allowed to eat peanuts.
Jeepers.
Not joking. You can Google it. It's there. It's true.
So this is scientifically backed up.
So you can see that's why I'm such a good girl. I've never stepped a foot out of line. I've been exemplary.
And you've been gifted with life.
Gifted with life. No, Clive, we're talking such rubbish.
Big time.
You are an old Parktown boy.
I am.
Well, let's term it old Parktown boy. It sounds terrible.
An old Parktownian.
It's your alma mater, let's say that.
That's it.
You then studied through UNISA, I think. What did you study at UNISA?
So I actually endeavored on a BCom marketing and economics for all my sins, actually.
And is that when you discovered that you...
Funny enough, no. Actually, all this came to fruition around my final year. What happened is, as a student, there comes a time when your parents get tired of giving you lunch money. Because how much lunch is one having, really?
No.
But it actually wasn't
the good. Lunch becomes liquid.
It becomes
lunch.
Liquid. It was mostly
it's
liquid lunch.
It's a problem. It's a bottle of lunch. So
you end up needing more, and the taps get closed. So you start being creative.
Yeah.
And one of the lecturers there started a wine promotions company, to which I think I remember the day very well.
That was so clever because she had or he had online on tap. Staff.
All the students
would have gone and done that, hey?
Well, Jocelyn did. And I think she was, because I was doing my degree through UNISA, but at Varsity College.
Yeah.
So I still had the full-on Varsity.
Yes, campus and
campus
all that
life
stuff.
And lecturers.
Brilliant.
And all that.
That's why you're so nice.
It's not where I come from.
No, it's not. It's got nothing to do with it.
So I remember she approached me and said, listen, I'm looking for a promoter. And off the bat, my answer was absolutely not. And for a few valid reasons, when I
you
think about
beer,
it now.
You drank beer, not wine?
Slightly more. We drank whiskeys.
And vodka.
We used to, my dad better not watch this, but we used to steal a lot of his whiskey. So,
okay, Daddy Shlabati, don't turn on.
Yeah, maybe at this point switch
off. Yeah, switch off.
So we used to steal a lot of his John Walker Black. And weirdly enough, it was either that or ciders. So I was drinking Hunters.
Yeah,
At that time, Savannah was not a thing.
Reds, maybe.
Reds. It was strictly Hunters.
What was the other? It was Hunters.
It was strictly Hunters
that
we did.
Huge brand, yeah.
Yeah, and so it was either Hunters or whiskey. Expensive pellets, I say, on the whiskey part.
Yeah.
And then I was driven by the fact that I actually need more money. So I can have these lunches.
It's a funny thing that economics teaches you that you need more
supply
money.
And demand.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I remember when I said to her, cool, I'll take it on, but I'm potentially the worst person to get anybody else to buy wine. Because one, I don't drink wine. I don't come from a home that drank wine.
Like,
and for me, in order for you to sell something to somebody, you need to have a innate interest in that product. Mm. But I think the drive for the lunch was bigger than common sense.
When needs must, the devil drives. Yeah,
and I remember, and I apologize to Evil's watching this and remembers me from standing at a Tops, probably going on talking complete hogwash about wine, because I literally, all I did was pat learned those wines.
Yes.
And that's all I did. I just regurgitated
so
for 3 hours.
Like falling off a log.
300 Rand later, let's go. And I started doing that. And I remember the bug essentially bit when it was 2010. We did there used to be a festival called the Good Food and Wine Show. They don't do it anymore at the Dome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I went there and I remember walking in and I was saying to my boss at the time, Charmaine Cohead.
She's a lovely part of
love
our
her.
Industry.
And I said, no, man, wine people are being absolutely terrible. You can't tell me that we need this much wine around. Mm. Surely Merlot's Merlot, right? Surely SMG's
SMG.
We're
going to tell you what
we'll
it is.
We'll tell you all about it. And it was a 3-day festival. And I remember the day she was just taken aback and she was like, cool, I'll pay you for your hours today. And the Good Food Wine Show at the time was a good 8 hours. You start at 10
and
long.
It was tedious.
Probably 12, actually. It was probably 10 to 10.
It was
terrible.
Yeah.
terrible, but fun. So I remember the first day she said, here's a glass. I don't want to see you until the end of the show. Go. And I literally went and I discovered it. And I started drinking wine, spitting out, listening to what people were saying. And eventually I came back. And I think my sentiments, to be honest, still remained. It slightly changed, though. Until the standard move.
He's such a slimmer. He's one of my stars. He's one of my kids that shines bright in the Milky Way.
And I remember when I got back to our stand and we had a winery that doesn't exist anymore, Howard Boysen.
Yeah, you remember Howard. I think he was a CWG protege.
He was the first black CWG protege.
Yeah.
To be exact.
Yeah, yeah. Shame. And he went spun west. I don't know what happened to it. It must have been a woman.
Must have been.
Must have been.
It has to be.
We take the blame for most, you know.
Totally makes sense. And I remember for the first time I drank a wine and I actually enjoyed it. I enjoyed drinking that wine.
Howard's wine.
And I said, yeah. And I said, what is this? And she said, Cinsault. It's like, what the hell is a Cinsault? It's like a grape varietal. I was like,
Sounds like a sexually transmitted disease or something.
Right?
I know.
And in my mind, I just thought, doesn't it end at Merlot and Cab and blends?
Yeah.
And then she was like, no.
And especially... Cinsault, you don't even spell it like that. It should be S-I-N-S-O.
The fact that it's spelled C-I-N.
But it's not S-A-U-L-T. It's typical wine, though, isn't it? Everything's a bit convoluted and difficult.
Absolutely.
And set up almost as if to trick you or make you trip and fall.
So do you know what I do now? So all those many years later, 14 years to be exact, later, when I start my wine tastings, I always say wine is the last sophisticated drink that's drenched in snobbery.
It's gorgeous, but we love that snobbery.
I cannot imagine it any other way.
It wouldn't be wine without it. Isn't that
I wouldn't imagine it any other way. So
I know, and it has taught you such nice manners, Clivey.
It really has.
It's turned you from a sort of a brash, brazen, hip, young university student into...
That's when you met me, right? Fresh out of varsity.
Straight out of varsity. Into a suave, sort of smooth, slick...
Maybe it's for the camera. I don't know. Those that have seen me.
I think if you lift your arms up too high like that, you might slip through your own you-know-what. You're so cool and you're so smooth.
No, thank you.
That's the wine industry.
Yeah, and then I think a year later, I had an opportunity to be... Charmaine's first sales rep at Wine Dynamics.
Yeah.
And the beauty about that is I always laugh and chuckle because everybody gives you the genesis of pretty much their life in wine.
Yeah.
And it's boxed or sweet, moving up the ranks. And I always pride myself to say, no, my first wines were boutique wines. Mm. So I don't know anything else. So this box stuff, I will remain a novice for life.
And you've specialized in boutique and... We'll move from there to here. Now, why I've got you, because in the last couple of months, there's been any amount of invites that come through my phone from you. Mm. Clive has a business partner by the name of Michael Causa, and they have a little business called Toasted Barrels. It's not so little anymore. It started off tiny. Now it's big. How many? You got about 10, 12 farms? I don't know.
14.
And they have a portfolio of boutique-y style wineries.
100%.
With the exception of Journey's End, which can't really be termed a boutique, but they do make really seriously F-off wines. I love Journey's End is doing well.
100%.
And it's big. It's very, very big. But for the rest, they are boutique-ies. We can run through them. But I think in 2017, you came and told me that you were opening your own business with Michael, and it's not easy. It's not easy to open your own business. We all know that.
Absolutely not.
I did smile, and I thought, oh, you know what? You're probably going to get loads of support because you're young, you're black, you're gorgeous. All you want to be is old and white and ugly like me. You get the square root of F-A from anybody. Anyway... I thought, no, Clive's going to be
black and gifted.
Clive is black and even if you're not, you would be gifted there, some other which way. But contrary to popular belief, even with the advent of COVID, you and Michael have done so well. I'm really proud of you. It's hard. It's hard to start a business like that. It's
terribly hard.
Run a business like that and bump heads with things like cash flow and capital injections and carrying books and bad debts.
And misconceptions.
Screaming creditors. and it's not easy.
Yeah, I
but
think...
But today, Toasted Barrels is 5 or 6 or 7 years old.
So on the 1st of June, it would have been six.
There we go.
Correct? Is our math correct? Yeah, I think so. Six. We've been having wine, so...
Seven and four. No, 11. What? That's not going to be six. No, that's... 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22,
23,
27.
Seven.
Seven, you see.
Seven, you see. The math is
you see, there's space for a silly old white lady still. you thought she was, that's why you're not making a profit. You can't do fucking arithmetic.
That's why I'm here.
It's, well, I'll give you, I'll concede a point. You maybe could be considered six because
of the C
one
word.
Year there was the C word.
The C word. That's it.
The C word closed us down in South Africa for a year, basically. No alcoholic vending. No, I don't know why. I don't know what that was.
I still don't know
say.
What it was about.
It was a year when more than anything on planet Earth, we all needed a drink.
Apparently, we punch each other when we drink. I don't know.
Speak for yourselves. You
apparently, we punch each other and then we clog up the hospital. So I don't know.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I've never done it, but I was going to do it in 2020.
I think
apparently.
That we definitely could have done with drinks that year.
Absolutely.
We could have done.
Everybody
and
needed
the
it.
Government closed down the alcohol industry, and so it made life even a little bit more difficult than it was.
Mm.
So say we're six going on 7 years.
Yes.
And going strong, doing well, fabulous reputation, nice farms, good service, good delivery. What can I say? It's my boy. Tell everybody about the farms in your portfolio. Garage sure. East, we start with.
Garage East, yes. I think Garage East is one particularly special one because there you're dealing with somebody who you can relate to on many aspects. Both being young, in fact, myself, Michael, and the winemaker, Kellen Williams, are the same age. And our philosophies and what we wanted to get out of the industry and what we wanted to put together pretty much aligned from day one. So Garage East is, she came in probably midpoint within our portfolio. And young, dynamic lady who
she's gorgeous.
Lovely, gave up being a ballerina to pursue a career in winemaking. Hit her first vintage when she was 25. I mean, at 25, Toasted Barrels was not even a thought. I was still happy just taking a salary and keeping it moving. But obviously doesn't own a wine farm, so sources grapes from different vineyards, specifically from Elgin. So it's cooler climate wines that are coming through. And we've been running essentially with her essentially since 2018 with her Simeon and Cabernet Franc, Jim and Bruce. So it's wines inspired by music. And finally now we're entering an era where we're launching a allocation only. So watch out for
are
it.
You?
Riesling.
Well, I'll tell you a story. You know, everybody always, I love to tell people stories behind the stories of the wine farms and the people in the industry, because I think everybody loves stories, really. We love to have stories. Where did you love stories when you were little?
In fact, I love the stories, but I think to bring it full circle as well. What separates a Merlot, your Merlot, from mine? That's the story. Who's
yeah,
Clive? 100%.
Who's Carrie?
And that's essentially what people 100%. End up buying. 100%.
So Callan has a granny who is my sister's next door neighbor in KwaZulu-Natal in the Midlands.
Mm.
And she came to the farm, but it's sort of like an eco estate. And 1 year I was there and she sort of came gingerly stepping across the lawn from Granny Beryl's house to my sister's house with a little Coke bottle full of whatever and said, I've got this little sample for you to taste, and would you mind if I came to see you in Johannesburg at Norman Goodfellow's and show aww. You my wines, whatever. She was humble and modest. She's pretty. She's clever. She's talented.
And well makes worth damn buying, good wine.
Well worth buying a case of Callan's wine. She's special to us because she's a bit of a next door neighbor.
And the girl next door.
She's the girl next door. And my granny always said, marry the girl or the boy next door, you know. So there you go. Marry Callan.
There we go.
There you go. What's wrong with you?
Because we're both unmarried.
What's wrong with you, Schlabart? Yeah, I told you. Marry the girl next door.
So mix business with pleasure, is what you're saying.
100%.
Great. Great
Stop
advice.
Stop your boss. In case you didn't get the message. I got Callan's Garage Yeast, and what has she got in her portfolio? Tell me.
So in her portfolio, she's got a very juicy Cabernet Franc.
Yeah.
And the lovely thing about the Garage Yeast is slightly older vintages. So in an era where people are ready to drink 2022s, we're still muddling there with 2017s and 2018s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Which is great for the consumer.
It's probably her granny's bank account that's keeping that all floating. It's hard to do that. I love this label.
It's hard, but if you think about it, it's actually brilliant.
I just love this label. I want to find this man. He's got red bishops inside a sort of a grassy bubble. I love it.
Wait until I tell you the story about that. That you're going to love.
So that's why I wanted you all to meet Clive, because he's got he's got wines like this. Where's the thing? You hold it in
I'll
front.
I'll hold it.
Hold it right there in front of the camera so everybody can see.
I don't know if the lights will do any justice.
It's so delicate and so pretty.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyway,
here we go.
So Callan's got a Cab Franc.
She's got a Cab Franc.
She's also got, hasn't she got a Chenin?
No, it's a Semillon.
Is it a Semillon?
Yeah, it's
quite right.
Yeah, yeah. We've gone with the big varietals there. So Semillon, but absolutely beautiful. So those beautiful oily floral flavors are coming through. And the
gorgeous
age on that as well make the wine very delicate and quite complex, which is, she might be the youngest in our portfolio, but she makes some of the most complex wines.
She's just got a feel for it. You know, sometimes talent can outweigh academia.
Absolutely.
If you know what
absolutely
I mean.
Especially in this sense.
Yeah, and even artists. I mean, sometimes you can get an artist who's been to the most expensive university or art school in the world. And then you get, you know, Joe Soap,
who
just comes and draws on the pavement. Yeah. You know, it's the same sort of thing. The thing is with winemaking, you do have to know about all the chemical stuff that goes
absolutely
with it. And she certainly knows about that. But she does seemingly let her personality shine through those wines.
Absolutely.
They're
and I think if you do things more naturally and you allow the innate talent versus what you get taught to shine, your personality then just has an opportunity to just showcase itself a lot more.
If we flip from her, who's the next person I'm trying to think that you've got? Well, Journey's End is huge. Anybody who wants a wine for any occasion, Journey's End rises to that platform. Hey?
Beautiful. In fact, they were the first farm that... In fact, that was the first farm I ever worked with.
It was, hey? I remember that.
It was, Wine Dynamics.
And Journey's End, owned by an Englishman, hey?
Welsh, yes.
Welsh.
Welsh, they live in London. They used to be the biggest importers of South African wines into the UK, but then bought the farm in Somerset West. So they're an estate. So everything that they make comes from within the four pillars of the farm.
And every time I judge a competition in South Africa, Journey's End wins something.
It does. I mean, the winemaker from back in the day where Leon Oosthuizen used to be
there. Who is the winemaker now?
A very young gentleman, actually. Mike Dawson.
I know.
So Mike Dawson.
English? Sounds like he could be English.
I mean,
Dawson. Where does that
Dawson
name come from?
Dawson is very...
It sounds a bit like Ponsonby Smithers. Ponsonby, what's up?
Well, if he is English, he would have been probably fifth or something generation.
Generation something, yeah.
Yeah, but Mike Dawson is the winemaker there.
One of those
there.
colonists,
maybe.
Do you think?
Yeah, yeah. Just didn't come with
but
the ship.
But he stole the farm.
No, I think he would have come after the land was already taken.
Oh, do you think his grandpa may have stolen the farm?
Maybe, actually.
You're not going to get put in jail for being so irreverent. For being irreverent, I know.
Cancel culture will catch us.
We're going to get cancelled. I can't wait. Can you imagine being cancelled? Do you think the tax man knows when you've been cancelled?
He better.
We better check with the workers and see if they get that bit right.
Yeah, so...
So Journey's End makes something for everybody. It's absolutely gorgeous one. I do
stunning.
Definitely suggest if you don't know, if you're ever stuck in the restaurant or...
Ask for a Journey's End.
Or the shop or the wherever you are and you don't know what to buy, Journey's End.
You're safe, you're good, well-made
really
wine.
What next?
And then from there, we've got, which would
be... We've got a whole lot of names I don't even remember.
I know,
let's talk about
but I'm
going to
say one that you will... Oh, Hughes. Yes, Nativo, which is what we're having now.
I'm surprised he's allowed to get away with the word Nativo. You don't think that's going to get cancelled? Because I was told, guys, I haven't told you, I've been in Mexico. I loved being in Mexico. It was just gorgeous. And I'll do a thing on that, actually. You'd love Mexico. You would. Have you been?
I want to. It's a bucket list. Brazil, Mexico, bucket list.
Absolutely have to go to Mexico. It's happy. The people. Read my newsletter. I write about it. I've just sent out my newsletter today. So subscribe to the newsletter and you'll see about Mexico. But what was I about to tell you? Oh, and I was told I was not allowed to call them Mexican people. By somebody.
What do you call them?
So I said, well, why? What are they? I mean, aren't they, Mexicans? When in Mexico, do as the Mexicans do. And they said, no, it's demeaning. Anyway, I thought, screw that.
It's demeaning to be called, okay, cool.
Mexican? Why? So it's like, could it be demeaning to be called English?
So what are
or
they?
Spanish?
Hispanic.
That's even That's even more demeaning, Hispanic. Having said that, the Mexican people are incredibly proud of their Spanish heritage. They wear it with unbelievable pride.
No, Carrie, teachable moments. What do you call them? What should we call them?
Well, they didn't. They just said
don't do it.
Indigenous people of Mexico.
Mouthful, but okay.
So I called them Mexican and that I didn't get into trouble once. I think that there's a time, you know what I did? What I did learn whilst I was overseas, it was very good because I haven't been overseas. I haven't been out of the country since COVID. And we tend to get bogged down in this little bubble of bad news and ghastly media. And I mean, who wants the media in their life, really? Let's just be honest. This kind of media we love. We're teaching you how to drink. The rest can go flipping, do whatever. It's just poor. It's just poor and bad. Anyway, I did realize that the percentage of people that are causing all of this wokey shit is probably 0.00001% of the population.
Always is.
And most of them are losers. And most of them are driven by a press that is paid by
nonsense.
One of the few wealthy wokies. There's a few of them.
There are a few. They are called under a different name though here.
Are they?
You know.
What? You say it. I'm not going to say it because I'm already on.
I might just be on thin ice, but yeah, the white monopoly capital.
Yeah.
Those guys.
The white monopoly capital.
Yeah.
So I don't think that we need to worry too much about all of this nonsense. But quite frankly, Mexico is an amazing place. Anybody who hasn't been, go. It's colorful. It's happy. Abject poverty all over the place. Mexico City looks a lot like Alexander Township on steroids. It's huge. And they build their shacks one on top of another, on top of another, on top of another. But they paint it pink and orange and yellow and green
so
and purple
it
and blue. And it's colorful. And they've got flags strung from one to the next. And if we thought we had illegal electrical connections, see the guys in
Mexico.
That's
a festival of it.
I don't know if they're illegal or not, but there are bunches like this big of electrical cable. Nobody could make head or tail.
Whose cable is this? So if you just cut that thing, that's
what? But they dance, they sing, they feed their stray dogs. There's buckets of water all over for stray dogs that are getting. They're lovely people. They're kind. They're happy. They're caring. They love each other. It's a great place. Go to Mexico. I thoroughly enjoyed my time there.
Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, I think, so I've made this assessment about South Africans where we are so depressed or negative about the media, but that's because we're consuming it.
We consume it and we fuel it.
But then once, and I'll give you this analogy, you'll never know the true dynamics of an intimate family unless you're in it. But when you're looking
outside.
Yeah. When you're looking from the outside, it looks merry. And that's South Africans because we will bicker and we will moan and we'll call each other names here. But let somebody come for South Africa. We'll put that aside.
Do you think that's still the case?
It's still the case.
Do you think so?
Yeah, yeah. It's only amongst us. It's amongst us, the siblings that fight. But then
I think you might be right.
With the rest of the world, we will fight. We will fight.
Well, I'm rather hoping with our government of national unity that we were blessed with this week, that South Africa can once again, be a trailblazer on the African continent, because we have been since the year dot.
We've never stopped.
And
despite
we've
all
had
nonsense.
30 years of not good, 30 years of stealing and corruption and thieving and ducking and diving, and it hasn't been good. We certainly haven't trailblazed anything.
No.
Nelson Mandela trailblazed a government of national unity in 1994, and after that, the whole thing went to the dogs.
Slowly but surely.
So now, we, thank goodness, have got some politicians with a little bit of... maybe a little bit of nice, a little bit of savvy, and let's see. Maybe our government of national unity will trailblaze a successful South Africa once again.
I hope so.
Me too.
Well,
Should we drink to that?
We need it.
Should we drink to that?
To the new dawn.
The GNU dawn. The GNU dawn.
I believe there's a song called GNU.
Is there? Well,
I listened to some boring radio. I won't mention it here, but they played this said song. But it was, I think, a song from the 80s. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Remember, I'm only 21, so
they
I don't know.
Say the 80s. I don't know. I remember. You know, I remember my mother playing me 80s or my granny playing me 80s.
Actually,
you're not talking rubbish.
I mustn't tease. I mustn't tease because I'm actually, I keep laughing with my friends and always purport to the fact that I think I was born in the wrong era.
When do you think you should have been born?
I think I should have been born in the 70s. So I can enjoy 80s music because that is literally what feeds my soul. I'm an old soul where music is concerned. And
I think in lots of ways. I was born in the 60s.
Mm.
And so the 80s was when I was like just about to be 20.
Fun times, huh? Must have been
and
fun.
Strangely enough, I wasn't a big 80s fan. But then I didn't really do disco music. And the 80s was quite big disco type music.
That was, yeah. Because hippie era was 60.
That was my brother and sister. They were flower children. They were hippies. They were Rolling Stones. They were...
On the Grass.
Beatles. They were all of that. I was more David Bowie.
Ah, okay.
England Dan, John Paul Cody. I loved sort of fably... country music, but I don't know what that music is
that
called.
That era country
really.
Music.
Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. Mind you, they started in the 60s as well, I suppose.
It catches
we should
up.
Do a music program.
We actually
day.
Should.
We should do
music
a music
and
podcast, music and wine. It's just an excuse to
play
have a
your five, I play my five.
So, we finished Journey's End. Who do we go to from Journey's End?
So from Journey's End, we go to what would be our second, if not equally as big, producer. And this you'll know from back in the day. Hazendal.
Oh, my goodness. Now belongs to the Russians.
It now belongs to the Voloshin family.
Spent so much money and made it so beautiful.
It is by far, and this is biased because I sell it, but it's the truth, probably one of the most beautiful and... time-consuming in a good way farm. So
yeah, no, I know they've done an enormous amount.
A little history on that farm. It's been running since 1699, so shortly after the ships. And it's been running.
What do you mean after the ships? The ships are still coming, darling. No. We were put in place in the 1600s because we were in the middle of the bottom of the world, and we're still there for the same reason.
I mean, after the first few ships. That decided.
They're going to leave the Russians here.
But that farm has been owned since 1699 by four relatively better known families.
Yes.
And the more famous one is the Bosmans. Mm. They owned it. I just forgot what era.
Is it the same Bosmans who've got Bosman family wines now?
100%.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And
good winemakers.
Currently, it's the Voloshins. And I think by virtue of proximity to. Cape Town, because they would essentially be the closest water to Cape Town. They're right opposite Kaapstad.
Yeah.
And Kaapstad, you can see Table Mountain from their vineyards. Mm. So on the opposite side is where Hazendal is.
On that Bottleray Road. Hey?
100%. Mm. In fact, it's the first winery on
Bottleray. And
do you
know what they've got that I am very covetous of?
Mm-hmm.
They've got a little baby grand piano in the dining room.
And apparently that's been there since
forever.
Forever.
And I want it. Could you put in a good word with the Russian for me?
I don't think they'll give it up. We might just have to pull a heist. But I don't know if you and I are equipped to pull
a heist
on the Russians. On the Russians?
Yeah. I'm not scared of the Russians. I like Vlad.
And if he catches us, we just pull bricks.
We just said we didn't know what we were doing. And I said, I've got a formerly disadvantaged and a currently disadvantaged, and that makes us two times a disadvantaged.
And
we needed
bricks.
The piano.
And we're part of bricks.
And we're part of bricks.
So you can't do anything. Surely yeah. There should be immunity. But yeah, we can do that. But between, I'd say, 2010 and around 2018, the farm underwent immense renovations.
Yes.
Where they planted new blocks of grapes. They've built a 9-hole golf course, mushy course.
Yeah.
They've got a supercar garage where Mark's cars park. All his vintage cars are parked there. Currently 3 restaurants, and earlier on this year we opened a 5-star hotel.
They've got like a fantasy world for the children.
Wunderdal.
They must have spent an enormous amount of money.
It was insane. It was insane. But you see it. It's visually there. You can see it.
I went to a wine tasting that you kindly invited me to at Corleen's place last year sometime. Or was it the beginning of this year? And their wine is pretty decent. You know, a very dear friend of mine made wine at Haasendaal for a long time.
Mm.
Colin Frith's wife. Such a dear friend that I can't remember her name, but she is a dear friend. Renelle Viet.
Okay.
Renelle Viet was the winemaker when I came back from living in England. I went to work at Anglo-American, and they owned Vergelegen and Boschendal. Ah. And Renelle was the red winemaker at Boschendal in those days. So I met her then. And then she went and she worked for Haasendaal for a long time. She makes really good wine. Now she makes for Rose at Bartony.
Ah, okay.
I don't know if she's still with Bartony, because Rose and what's his face, Michael, don't. I think Rose has gone to Plaisir de Milner.
I'm not too sure. Isn't that sold? Or being sold or in the process? I don't know.
They bought Plaisir de Mille.
Ah. So is it going to continue as a winery?
I don't know. I think so.
Okay. Cool.
I think so.
Well, I hope so.
Who's this phoning me? I should put my glasses on and I can't see.
Clearly there was a buzz.
Dorian Wheel.
Who's that? Well, Kelly, you should know because you saved the name.
How do you know? How do you not know who Dorian Wheel is?
I don't know, Kerry. I was like, Nevin.
Dorian Wheel is one of the most sought after and successful psychiatrists in the country.
Maybe that's why I don't know.
Maybe I couldn't afford her. I sent you to the cheaper one. So we're going from Haasendaal.
Yes.
Haasendaal, Haasen in Dutch, Afrikaans, whatever, is a rabbit. It's a hare. And the labels are beautiful. I love that. They're almost like real life Beatrix Potter labels. They've got like a gentleman rabbit, haven't they?
That's it.
He's a gentleman hare. He's got
That's it.
He's got a waistcoat on. He's got a walking stick. He's beautiful.
He looks colonial.
He's very colonial. I don't know how they got away with it. I think he's going to be cancelled. Buy one quickly.
Funny you say that.
Because I'm sure it's going to be cancelled. I mean,
that label has changed.
Oh, it was just so beautiful. How did they change it?
But it's a very beautiful now. So I think keeping with...
Is the rabbit still on it?
It's a rabbit, but it's a montage of a rabbit.
Is it not a rabbit dressed up in a...
No, not anymore.
Oh, my God.
Not anymore.
You know
the colonial guy left.
You're not allowed to have an imagination anymore.
Kerry, we're living in a woke era.
Can you? It's such a lot of flipping bollocks. We're all so sick of it. Such a lot of rubbish. And you know what it is? It's stopping children from being allowed to have
creativity.
An imagination and creativity. Yeah. You're not allowed to say anything.
Yeah, you need to be careful.
It's absolute rubbish. It's just rubbish. I think we're going to cancel culture.
It needs to start somewhere.
Well, I
think there'll come an era where the truth needs to come.
But we all just have to say something. I mean, every time I open my mouth, everybody says, don't say that. Why? Why not?
I think...
Last time I looked, there was a thing called freedom of speech.
Mm.
Last time I looked.
But remember, it's got responsibilities, apparently.
Rubbish.
She can't hurt.
If you're offended, God bless you. I'll give you a box of Kleenex. Go and blow your nose, get over it and come back.
Take a Panado for your chest pains.
Really?
Yeah, I think we're just living in an era where I think the world wanted to be more considerate of the next, and it kind of just almost spun. So if God
more considerate of the next, well, it's so considerate now that nobody can find a job.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. It became so considerate.
Yeah, it definitely hasn't worked.
We've taken away the essence of also being human. I think in venturing to be nicer,
like to be
nicer, to be nicer. I think that's what the world is at now.
And now you're legislated to be nice. Before you had to make a decision to be nice.
Yeah, and I think people were clearly making decisions not to be nice.
Yeah, well, you know, it's so interesting. I do a consult for a company, and I was saying the other day, I didn't realize quite how bad it is with the new generation. But if something's not happening on this,
then it hasn't happened.
It's not real. Do you know when we went to varsity, hey? You go to university, and you're one of 6,000 people on that campus. It was rag. There was float building. We raised money. There was a rag queen. Now, you're not allowed to have a rag queen because nobody's allowed to be prettier than anybody else.
We all win.
So you can't have somebody who's more beautiful than the other, one who's cleverer than the other. All just got to be
win.
The same.
We all win.
All got to be the same.
We all participate, but we all win.
You don't win. You just participate and you stay stupid. Anyway, and we interacted, and you would say to me, and then we'd go to a tutorial, you would get your tutorial thinking you had your whole thing sorted out.
Yeah.
And then your colleague or co-student would
say, student.
Shoot you down in flames and say, but you hadn't thought about this and you hadn't thought about that.
Are you stupid?
Are you stupid? And we would box and we would come up with the right answer, and that's what learning's all about. Mm-hmm. That is what learning is all about. Now the kids don't go to campus. They don't have friends. They don't make friends. They don't know who else is in their faculty. They have no socializing on campus at all. They go to a graduation ceremony, which is, it lacks any luster or any of the pomp and ceremony and the gravitas with which you need to be made to feel special for having come through your degree. There's none of that. I went to a graduation ceremony for one of my little proteges that I've helped and didn't win. It was deeply disappointing. They didn't know the profs. They didn't know the rector. They didn't know their colleagues. They didn't know anything about it.
I'm just here to graduate and
you just get a certificate and somebody smacks you on the head and that's the end of the story. It's ghastly. You don't get a gown. You hire it. You do it. There's nothing special about it at all.
Symptom of the world that we live in.
100%. And then they go and they get a job and they don't want to go to work. You're only going to want to go to work 3 days a week because since COVID, I don't need to go to work. Well, hello, we work in retail. So you do have to go to work. You 100% absolutely do have to go to work. And you need to be in an environment at work where you say to your colleagues, let's go to the pub down the road for a drink on the way home on Wednesday. Let's meet at Sun City on Sunday. Let's go and play paddle or tennis on Saturday.
Or whatever.
They don't do it. The world is in a terrible state disarray.
And I think,
as a result of all of this wokedom.
And I think for me, what's lovely, and I always lament because I've got two younger sisters, and I always lament with them and I say, I am glad and I find myself very lucky to have lived in both worlds. So I lived in a world where it was still okay,
normal
and safe to play in the streets.
Yeah, me.
But I also grew up in an era where cell phones started becoming a thing and crime became a problem. So my heart bleeds when I'm like, you don't know what it's like to leave early in the morning when schools are closed, to come back, and your mom says come back before the lights are turned on.
Yes.
And you come back way after they've turned on.
Yes, and she's not really worried. She's kept your food in the oven for you.
Smack you a bit because she told you to come home before the lights are off.
God forbid you got a smack. Can you imagine now?
I still got a smack.
Now you could take her to court.
She's in prison. Mom's in prison for even... But you see, I commiserate with both worlds.
Oh,
so I know both
God.
Worlds. I know merits of each. And I also get
there's
now why...
There's no merit to the new one. I'm sorry.
No, Kerry. I mean, there's some terrible stories that you hear where you see
moms
just...
We all survived. For thousands of years, we survived.
changing times.
Just fine. We survived just
fine. So you reckon we should have continued on that trajectory?
I don't advocate ugliness or nastiness, but yeah. I think to legislate against being allowed freedom of speech is terrible.
But I mean, I raise you this.
Terrible.
Against legislation, then what's your next habitat? So if your mom just claps the hell out of you every day without legislation.
They all did.
I don't know, weren't being clapped. I mean, we were smacked a bit, but not.
No, we got seriously good hidings.
Really?
100%. What do you think? How do you think discipline?
What do the Afrikaans say? Baldi policy.
What do you think built the world? Wokedom. I think it might have been discipline.
Maybe. Discipline, yes.
I think it
absolutely
might have been discipline.
Absolutely discipline. But now, I'm not a parent yet. But
wait.
They call it soft parenting.
Wait until your child is so naughty. And all you want to do is give it a smack on its bottom and say, stop it. You know? And then you get reported to the child welfare.
Child abuse. Luckily here we don't have child welfare that takes your kid away, right?
But you can kick a dog and you can stick crackers up.
No, now you kick a dog as well. SPCA is on you.
Yeah, SPCA is also on you. SPCA is on you. The toothless bulldog.
You can't even kill a fly.
You're not even talking about your wine. Come.
Yes, let's.
How many more people?
So, from Hasendal, then we move to then our seriously smaller guys. So we've got Metsa.
So Metsa wine or
Metsa wines are
gorgeous.
Absolutely stunning. So yeah. He is situated in Helderberg, so between Somerset West and Stellenbosch.
Where is he? Sort of where, so where I don't Warwick know if you know, was.
No. Where Warwick was, now you're thinking towards Paarl, that's where H. Bastion is. Mm. So if you're driving, I forgot what the route is, but you're driving from Cape Town towards Elgin and you're going to go towards Sir Laurie Pass.
Oh, okay.
So after Cavalli and Akendal and the Bredell family farm. So he's actually quite essentially neighbors to the Bredell family farm. Essentially, probably 2-3 kilometers away from Cavalli.
Okay,
on
good.
Your way towards
Somerset. Wine is delicious. The Metsa
absolutely
wines
delicious.
Are absolutely delicious.
So he's all about the old vine, minimalistic intervention where the wine is concerned,
yeah.
And terroir-driven wines.
Yeah.
Specializes obviously
and
in Chenin.
And only makes red. Oh.
No, Chenin. Specializes in Chenin.
Why did I think he only made red?
No, he. Wade.
It used to be a she that came to visit me from Metsa Wines.
Oh, really? Probably a rep before our time.
No, it wasn't a rep, it was a winemaker.
Couldn't have. Hmm. Well, he does, well, for as long as I know, was the winemaker throughout. And they said an assistant winemaker who was a she.
Could have been an assistant winemaker.
Maybe. And yeah, so he makes a Cab, a Shiraz, a Cinsault, a Shiraz blend, a export generally only red blend, which is called the Kitchen Sink, which is essentially
that's
throwing
nice.
Everything in there. So each year the component of that blend changes drastically based on harvest.
What's there.
And everything that he does is within probably 6 kilometer radius of the Helderberg mountain range.
Okay, good.
And
nice wine.
Beautiful, beautiful wines.
Delicate, pretty wine.
Mm. And then from there we move to Solitary. Beautiful story behind that as well. Used to be a co-op. Stand to be corrected, but I think it belonged to KWV. So he's in Stellenbosch in the Polka Dry region.
Above
where Reinica is. Beautiful. So if you know where Reinica is, slightly above is where Solitary is. The farm is called Karibib.
So, Karibib?
Yeah, so when his father passed away, he decided on introducing the farm to smaller producers who can't afford to buy vineyards and said bugger off to the big co-op. And currently there's about 14 different winemakers that are currently buying also. So it's either you buy a row or a
so
block.
It's like a baby mini privately owned co-op.
100%.
So
but
nice.
Only for the small producers.
Because I'm a big co-op person. I'm a bit of a communist at heart.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wine for everyone.
Yeah, I do. I do think that in its finest form, communism could work. But
yeah, in a very, very...
Yeah, you always end up with one greedy sort of despot.
Yeah, yeah. It all goes to him.
Yeah.
Or her.
But communism in its finest form is a brilliant system. And that's why I think that the cooperatives were such a good idea.
They were.
They really were, if you think of it. And all the rots, the mealy rot, the banana rot, the milk rot, you know,
they
dairy
were,
rot.
So look,
they all worked.
I look at it from both angles and I said, lucky enough to have had.
Do you know what? I'm the Libran in this thing here, not you. You are a Gemini. You're a
Cancerian. Well, Gemini, actually, yeah, well, Cancer.
Cancer,
yeah.
The Libran looks at everything from both sides. So just get off my...
Allow me.
Stamping
I'm
on
woke.
My turf.
I'm woke.
Yeah,
I'm yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to have to change that. You come around the scene, I'm going to beat the shit out of you and get that wokeness out. Oh, my darling. Stay just as you are.
So I think the beauty about... the co-ops having fallen away as we see so much creativity from the producers now.
Mm.
We see so much techniques that we would have never seen. Because imagine if KWV had to do a clay amphora Shannon. How many clay amphoras would they need? Which is not cost effective.
So they've got some.
Now.
I think they've bought some.
Now. Because why?
Yeah.
You move with the times.
Yeah.
You move with the times. But if they remain the same, everything would be in big barrels for 50 odd months and
which is also
big
not too bad.
Not too
we
bad.
Like those big barrels.
And for me, both should exist.
100%.
Both should absolutely
yeah,
exist.
Definitely.
So yeah, so he operates under Solitary. And there's a bit of a rebel. He makes a lot of Pinot Noir.
Who's he?
Joshua. Yuzua Meyer.
Joshua who?
Joshua Meyer.
Joshua
I mean,
Meyer.
Sorry.
I thought you said he's the mayor.
Cut.
You can leave it. I thought you said Joshua is the mayor.
No. Joshua Yube. I don't know. Do you know what happened there? I'm thinking Mayor Joubert from Joubert Trudeau.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. So no, it's Joshua Joubert.
Joshua Joubert.
Yeah.
Okay.
His brother is the winemaker for Le Lude, was or is, something like that.
Oh, Le Lude's gone through a couple of winemakers in the last
year. Yeah, I think after Gerber or something, I don't know. Anyway,
yeah.
Joshua then makes wines under Solitary. So Solitary brand is his personal brand.
Okay.
The farm is called Karibib. But you'll see many other wines that have Caribib.
What do you think Caribib means?
Caribib.
Is it a tree? Sounds to me like it could be a tree.
No, he actually has told me this before. And I think it is a tree that had its origins in Namibia.
Zimbabwe or somewhere.
Namibia.
It's like a desert tree.
Yeah,
I
it
think.
Is. It is. It is. You're quite right. It is a tree.
Yeah, I
and
think
its
so.
Origins are in
I
Namibia.
Remember.
And he's giving me the whole spiel. Clearly, I.
Caribib. We
clearly,
like
I was having too much.
And I think.
Pinot Noir.
I'm talking nonsense here now, and maybe somebody clever out there can remember, but I think the Caribib tree is another name for the Krematut tree, which is bicarb, where we get bicarb from.
Yes, yes.
Don't let me go off on too much of a tangent, but I think.
You're right.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Makes sense.
After Solitary, what do we become?
After Solitary, we then move over to... quite recent, about 4 months ago, another winery that we took on called Gabriel and Gespert. For short, I just call it G&G. And they are in Bonnyvale.
Gabriel is Gabriel.
Gabriel and Gespert.
Gespert.
Yeah.
Is that a name of a person?
Yeah. It's a father and son endeavor. So they are...
You see, for me, calling your child Gespert... is more criminal than giving him a hiding.
I mean, I don't know what that means.
I don't think. I do think that.
True. But they are, so, very small. They are a wheat, fruit,
you weren't
and
supposed
a bit
to fill
of
my glass up again because I might get way beyond woke at this stage of the game if they think that what they've seen
I
now.
I think they need to hear all your wokeness.
So Gabriel and Gespert are placed where?
Bonnyvale.
Okay.
So just outside of Robertson.
You know what? There's some quite nice fruit that comes out of Bonnyvale. I don't care what
bloody
anybody
hell.
Says.
You should taste
Bonnyvale
wine.
Also had a cooperative somewhere.
In fact, there were big co-ops. So a lot of the wineries that are there are co-ops.
Yes.
But very rarely
yes.
do you see a winery itself.
Yes.
Because the big thing about the co-ops in Bonnyvale, they were selling to outside areas, but not necessarily vinifying their wines as wine of origin Bonnyvale. And now, again, wokeness is coming through, and I think you're starting to see...
Stop trying to, it's got nothing to do with woke.
It's the times we're living in.
It's got nothing
in.
To do with wokeness. What do you mean wokeness is coming through and they're going to the same
time? Why are we making the grapes and selling them off, and then we don't
it's
even get
wokeness,
the recognition?
It's capitalism.
CW.
Yeah, you see, just, are you CW. Like, please come home and spend some time at home again,
I
can just actually get your head back on track.
Clap it back into it. So, they make tiny, tiny production. I think they cab. So they make a cab, a Chardonnay, and a Chenin. Tiny production. I think the entire production on all three is probably 3,000 bottles.
Okay.
The cab is sitting at about 900 bottles odd that are produced.
And are we going to call it G&G?
I call it G&G.
Price point?
G&G is about 100, 220 rand a bottle.
It's not bad.
I don't think it's bad for a wine that's made in that, what you call this, in that volume. It's not bad at all. And I think the notions of boutique wines being expensive, as toasted barrels, we've worked very hard to get rid of that.
I was going to say, I think that's one of the things that we need to tell everybody is that boutique wines, some people run screaming from because it's hard to make the economies of scale work when you're producing small batch wine. But you've been very clever in the portfolio that you've put together because there's nothing that's like, there's nothing that's like completely off the scale too expensive in your portfolio, is there?
No, no. And I think we've done it in such a way.
It's every man's wine.
It's every man's wine at every pocket. So I look at some of the wines that we have, which are really on the higher end, which would come from the likes of Journeys Den and Hasendal. But then I've also got wines where, as a boutique, you can get a bottle of really decent wine at 120 rand too.
Yeah, it's lovely. And I really do think, how we, you know what, the kids actually put stuff into my newsletters and stuff for me. I'll give them a copy of, maybe not your trade list. I'll just put your contact details. Get hold of Clive. Order direct
We launched a website. I didn't tell you.
Did you launch a website?
Yeah, our website went live 3 months ago, finally.
And it's called Toasted Barrels.
It's called ToastedBarrels.com.
And our entire portfolio is there. Toasted Barrels sounds like a nice sort of a name as well.
It does.
It's always made me think of whiskey. I always wanted to make whiskey in Toasted Barrels. But I'll put all of that stuff into my next newsletter so that you can. But what have we left out, this last one?
So we've covered Nativo, have we?
Yes. We haven't. We didn't
no, wait,
speak
no, we
about,
spoke about
Nativo.
It. So
we showed them on
yes,
the,
we showed you the bottle,
thing.
To the bottle that we showed you, full circle. Nativo, they are in the Swartland. They are part of the 24 Swartland independent producers, which for those of you who don't know means a very minimalistic hands-off approach where the wine is concerned.
It means they've each got one of the old previous Swartland co-op vineyards. That's what it means.
100%. And with him, I think he's slightly more special because he's the only one that I can think of, I think, in that area or part of the 24 who is certified organic. So a lot of producers will tell you organic practicing.
And it's expensive to become certified
organic.
It's
hella expensive, but he's gone through that route.
So I'll take my hat off to him.
Yeah, Billy Hughes.
You said he comes from Spain.
No, so he is Argentinian.
Argentinian.
Grew up in Mendoza.
Sort of thing.
Same thing, I suppose. I mean, I'm learning Spanish on Duolingo with my siblings.
Are you?
Yeah, I strung a sentence or two.
How are you for me?
Hola.
Hola.
Mucho gusto.
But that sounds like you're starting off Greek.
Yeah. <It's all> Hola. Hola, mucho gusto.
Mucho gusto. That sounds like how much do you cost?
Mucho gusto, how are you?
Are you sure you ever got a prostitute teaching you Spanish? Hola, mucho
I don't think
gusto.
They've made it here. Yeah, mucho gusto. And lovely gentleman. He was in Joburg 2 weeks ago and we got to meet him and introduce the brand to the market. And he makes very organic wines of Jesus times. So proper hands-off.
Don't you wish we had that recipe?
Yeah, I wonder if he ever gave anybody
the bastard,
before he went to.
He just left.
He just like, I'm done.
Bugged it off.
He made it
and
like, I'm done.
He took the recipe book with him.
It was an allocation one.
You see, that was white privilege.
That's godly privilege.
You're not going to need a big
trouble. No, this is now we're getting into trouble.
Big trouble.
Yeah, so
that's
Nativo.
What does Nativo make?
So he obviously focuses on a lot of classic Swartland varietals. So a lot of Chenins, a lot of Roussan that's coming through. So under his brand, he's got...
Roussan?
Yeah.
Nice.
So under his brand, he's got Chenin that he grows, a little bit of Syrah, a little bit of Mourvèdre, Roussan. Obviously, he makes a tad bit of Grenache. Tempranillo.
Yeah, I love Grenache.
Granaca.
I told you.
Tempranillo and Granaca.
My favorite wine in Mexico was Grenache.
And...
It was gorgeous.
And toying around with Pinotage. So there's some exciting stuff that's coming out of Nativo later on this year. I'll let you know. Pinotage and Tempranillo.
If I go online, is there a portal that can I order online on your
100%,
website?
100%.
The wine? How long do I wait for it to arrive?
Depending on your time. If you order Monday morning, Tuesday, the wine is there.
Oh, my goodness. So you've got a little warehouse in Johannesburg.
We did, finally. In Wijnberg.
Okay. That's Wijnberg. Good.
Yeah, so
it's toastedbarrels.com or what?
.com, that's it.
Toastedbarrels.com. How easy is that?
The easiest. In fact, if you put Toasted Barrels anywhere, even on social media, we should pop up. If you scroll down, you'll see my face somewhere.
That's fantastic, Clive.
Yeah, and we've got our entire portfolio loaded on there.
And you're not looking to expand too much more from there, I hope.
The plan is not to expand as far as it stands, because we need to look at the fact that we need to pay justice to these farms. So until I get 2-3 other people on the ground, it wouldn't make sense to take anybody
else. And is Michael Causa doing any work?
Yeah, a lot.
Yes, I never lots see him anymore.
And I think that means he's doing his job.
You think
if he was out with me, then it means nobody's doing the back end. If he was here right now, it means no one's sorting out invoicing. Yeah. So, but he does come onto the road ever so slightly.
Okay.
But we do have a bit of help at the back.
Because all the girls in the industry, Michael Causa's
and what
really
I love
hot.
Is they'll try Googling, but they won't find him. He's also elusive even on the socials.
A little bit under the radar.
Very under the radar. His girlfriend will kill us, though.
Okay, we're gonna cancel that. Michael Causa is so off limits. He's so not hot. Clive, rather.
Come.
Clive, it's been an absolute blooming pleasure having you, my darling. I love chatting. It's time for kitchen dinner.
Please.
Scones and soup. We need to settle the affairs of the government of national unity.
And all its surprises.
We'll do that. But in the meantime, thank you for joining me on Carrie's Connoisseurs. It's been, as always, fun and a pleasure. And this is delicious, this Cinso. So if you go online and you go to Nativo Wines, and Nativo is the Spanish word for native, which is why we were a little bit confused that we were allowed to use it. Because I think,
Well, I suppose in South Africa we're allowed, because it's also Spanish.
Maybe.
And also I think for him, actually, to clarify, Nativo, because he's now naturalized South African, but then also the wine showcase where they come from. So native to the Swartland.
Native to the Swartland. Okay.
That's it.
Do we really care? No.
Does it taste great?
Sure. Does it taste great? Yes. Cheers, my darling. Happy birthday. Cheers, and thank you very much. Thank you, Kel.
And thank you guys for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.